Thank you, John. Melvin mentioned in his prayers the whole world. I'm going to read this morning Psalm 24. So if you've got your Bibles, you might like to turn to that. And as somebody will say, I've heard you speak on this before. It's true. The word hasn't changed. It's still Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Amen.
The earth is the Lord's, not just the heavens. The earth is God's footstool. God made the whole world. We were made to be stewards of it. So many folk think that God is okay in heaven, but that he's not really in charge on what goes on the earth. God made the whole world. It's the devil who wants us to believe differently. And that's where the spiritual battle is. God wants us, you and I as Christians, to stand firm in our faith that we have received. God is God of the whole world, not just bits of it. In Matthew 4, the devil tries it on with Jesus. He said, looking down at the world, all this I'll give to you if you'll bow down and worship me. What on earth? Wasn't the devil's to give? It is God's world, all of it. God created the whole world and everything in it. At the start of this beautiful day, I think it's good for us to remember that and to praise God for his creation. So much of the beauty of the things we see, we just take for granted. God made it all. Praise him. I want to read a few verses from Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all, to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, so that you may walk worthily of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Paul prays for us, his readers, be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Our knowledge of God's will must always be practical. If we're going to walk with God through our daily lives, it's vital that we know God's will in order that we may do it. If we don't know it, we can't do it. Paul says this, don't just know it, but increase in the knowledge of God. This is also true. Good knowledge without a good life will not profit anyone or anything. Good knowledge without a good life will not profit anyone or anything. That is not the Christian way. Scripture says this, be fruitful in every good work. The more fruitful we are, the more we shall increase in the knowledge of God. Do you want to know God more? Answer, be more fruitful for him. As we live out our daily lives, so we learn more of God and his purpose for our lives. Paul prays that God will fill all his readers with spiritual wisdom and understanding. Note this, not just wisdom and understanding, but also with patience and with joy. God wants us to be joyful Christians. Quite a struggle sometimes, but that's what he wants. He wants us to be joyful Christians. And if we're walking with him, we're seeking his knowledge, his will, his understanding, we shall have that patience that God would have us have, and that joy that he wants to fill us with. Why be patient? Why be joyful? So that we can rejoice because God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. So how seriously do we take that? Have your chains fallen off? We often sing that hymn, don't we? My chains fall off. Have your chains fallen off? Is your heart free? Do you know that you've been rescued from the dominion of darkness? I pray you do. The psalmist asked, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Answer, those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who do not lift up their souls to idols or swear by what is false. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Dirty hands, impure hearts, are part of those ancient doors. That's why Scripture keeps calling out, I think, lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. Why? So that the King of Glory may come in. Not just into the town, but into each one of us as individuals. And think about this. If the ancient doors are shut, God is shut out. If the ancient doors are shut, God is shut out. God cannot be in our lives if we're clinging on to things of the world. Dirty hands, impure hearts. What is meant by dirty hands? It means hands that are those of folk whose hands are being lifted up to the idols. Hands that are doing things that they should not be doing. I think we all probably know what the psalmist is saying. In our private lives, I guess that it is in fact known to us. We know when we're doing things that are wrong. We know it. We know when we're putting money or possessions or something else before God. We know when we're being rude, when we're being selfish or greedy or uncaring. We know all of that. I believe we do in our hearts. We know that. We don't need someone to tell us. But we also need to be aware of the world in which we live. A world in which status, money, property, possessions, all held up as a standard that everybody should aim for. Look at the adverts on television, I'll tell you that. A target everyone should be aiming for. Putting self first and everything else second, third or fourth. And that's where we are challenged. We're challenged to put God first in every part of our lives. Not just today, but every day. And that's why we need to start each day with the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, I hope it is with a good morning, Lord. Rather than, oh God, it's morning. God wants us to start the day with Him, with Jesus in our minds, in our hearts. If we don't, we're going to start with a struggle, I think. We live in a world where non-Christian spiritual activities are upheld as acceptable, as a norm. Things like tarot cards and Ouija boards, tea leaves, reading the stars, witchcraft, gambling clubs, secret organizations. So many things that are there in front of us to tempt us away from the way the Lord wants us to live and to walk. The devil is always trying to distract us from walking with Christ. He'll make things look so beautiful, so desirable. Oh, I must have that. That's what he does to us. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and him alone. It's so easy to get drawn into by workmates and sometimes family members with words like, well, it's just a bit of fun. Everybody does it. No, it's not. It's not a bit of fun. It's sinister. It's the works of the devil as far as I'm concerned. It's absolutely contrary to the risen Christ and his commands on our daily lives. That's why Paul prays that we may be filled with spiritual understanding. When we're tempted, we know where we should go. We know we can go straight to the Lord. He doesn't go off on holiday. He doesn't sleep at night. That door is always open for us to go through if we choose to do it. Or we can choose to go the other way and deny Christ. We know that as Christians, we do have spiritual understanding. That is true for all of us. Yes, it's so easy to turn a blind eye when temptation comes, to shut our ears from what God the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I almost need to say words up here above me all the time, I think. The words of Jesus to us. I am the way. No other way. No other truth. No other life. Just Jesus' way. The psalmist asks, who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. He is the creator of the world. He has made you and I. Are the gates of your life lifted up? Or are some of them shut down a bit, not open? I think it's good sometimes just to reflect on those verses of that psalmist. Consider them in relation to our own personal lives. I want us to do just that now. I'm going to put them up on the board above me. Each time one comes up, I want you just to reflect on it for a few moments and just take it yourself. Can I have the first one, please, John? How many times do we actually remember that? The word everything. Be filled with a knowledge of His will. Do you feel you're filled with the knowledge of His will? If not, pray for more of the knowledge of God for you personally. Increase in the knowledge of God. So many people think they've read the Bible, they come to church every Sunday or whatever, they think they know everything there is to know about God. We're challenged to increase in the knowledge of God, not to settle for what we've got, not say, oh, I've reached that age or I'm too young or too old or whatever. God wants us to increase in our knowledge and our relationship with Him every day. He wants us to increase. And if we do increase in the knowledge of God, we're going to lead much better Christian lives. Lives that are walking much more closely with God. We've got to keep Him central, though. Increase in the knowledge of God. Each one of these, we really need to pray for ourselves almost daily, I think. Thank you. Filled with the knowledge of all spiritual understanding. So often we're engaged in spiritual warfare. God has given us all that we need to win the battle there. If we turn to Him, if we don't, expect to be overrun by things. Be filled with the knowledge of all spiritual understanding. God the Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to lead us, and to make sure we don't fall over. Each day of our life, are we fully pleasing God? I'll speak that to myself. I know the answer to that one. But for yourself, we need to challenge ourselves. Are we walking with the Lord? Are we fully pleasing in all that we do, all that we say, all that we are? God calls us to be different, not to be like everybody else. He wants us to reflect the beauty of Jesus in our daily lives. Not just once a week or twice a week, on sunny days, every day. Walk with the Lord, fully pleasing Him. And I wonder too, how often we thank God. I thank God for being alive today. You look around the world, how many people are not being killed or lost or distraught, homeless, no food, no money, anything. How many times do we thank God? Let's just take us as we are here this morning. How often do we really thank God for what we've got, what He gives us? It's a real challenge that, I think. We find it much more easy to moan about things going wrong, moan about things we don't like, people we don't want to speak to. We need to be thanking God, people who thank God for life itself. Life is precious. Those of us who have lost loved ones and families or children, whatever, we know how precious that life is. We need to thank God for the lives that we have. Praise Him. We are delivered from the power of darkness. Do we believe it? It's a challenge again. Do we believe that we've been delivered from the power of darkness? We have. And going back to Matthew's Gospel, Jesus being tempted by the devil. To put it in English, really, Jesus said, "You'll get lost." We can do the same. He understands English. And you tend to go away, to leave you alone, and you claim the blood of Christ. We have that power within us. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, and God doesn't want us wandering back into that darkness. He wants us to go on walking with Him with spiritual wisdom. The blood of Christ has redeemed us. Our sins have been forgiven. St. John prayed at the start of the service about sins being forgiven. We need to be constantly giving those things that are wrong in lives to the Lord. He doesn't beat us around the head. But it's almost too easy to come and say to Him, "Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to say that. I mean to get involved with that." And God accepts that in the name of Jesus and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all things that are wrong in our lives.
we need to keep walking with these verses, that the blood of Christ has redeemed us. Our sins have been forgiven.
So we should be joyful, shouldn't we?
If we come before the Lord on our hands and knees, confess those things that are wrong, and receive that forgiveness that he gives us, we should be joyful. We should rejoice. We should be very happy Christians.
When we walk out of here this morning, will people look at us and think, oh,
what are they doing? They look very miserable.
God calls us to express the joy of Jesus in our lives and our behaviour, and the people we meet and people we talk to.
God came to give us life, life in abundance. And we, as Christians, need to claim that life for ourselves. Life in abundance to that joy, that walk with the Lord, the blessing of God in our lives. God loves us so much. Just vow to go on walking with him, seek his way and his will, and rejoice in his love, his forgiveness. God is with us. Hallelujah. Amen.